Why don't you stand with me, please? Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 1 through 13. And the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when he was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for those that have lived before us by faith and have left us an example. And Lord, if we get nothing else out of the service today, I pray that we would remember that there are people watching us, and there will be people that will come after us. And we are laying the foundation and setting the tone for others to follow. And I pray that we'd live a standard that pleases you and that others could aspire to. That we would not be disappointing, but be something special that you can use for your honor and glory. Lord, we love you. We believe in you. We've dedicated our lives to you. And I pray it shows in the way that we act, the way that we live, the way that we talk. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Memorial Day is a legal holiday observed annually on the last Monday in May in most of the United States in honor of the nation's armed services personnel killed in wartime. The holiday, originally called Decoration Day, is traditionally marked by parades, memorial speeches, and ceremonies. The decorations of graves with flowers and flags, hence the original name. Memorial Day was the first observed in May of 1868 in the order of General John Alexander Logan for the purpose of decorating the graves of the American Civil War dead. It was observed on May 30th until 1971, when most states changed to a newly established federal schedule of holiday observances. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee." Normally, after Mother's Day to Father's Day in this church, it's been our tradition to preach on the family. And obviously, Memorial Day is in there. And I couldn't help but think in Deuteronomy 32:7, "Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask thy father." And sad to say, in the breakdown of the American home and the family, a lot of kids don't even have a dad to ask anymore. And I have to think, obviously, that is a great plan of Satan himself to break up the home, because it's the home that the church gets its workers from. It's the home that makes the church strong. And if you can tear down the foundation of the home and the family, then you're going to tear down the message of Jesus Christ in the long run, and that is exactly what is taking place. And sad to say, a lot of times we don't have a dad to ask anymore, but I'm thrilled to be able to share with you that my dad is here this morning and God has blessed the Griffin family. And so, if you'll allow me, number one, I am to remember. Say that with me. I am to remember. The word remember in your King James Version Bible is used 148 times. Now, that's a significant number. 148 times we're told to remember. I am to remember, and I've called that lives lived. My last name is Griffin. I am Stanley Griffin. I am named after my great-grandfather, Stanley R. Griffin. I live on the Griffin Road in Levant. Griffins don't travel far. And so obviously, it just down the road from where I live is my Uncle Pete, who lives in the family farm that he got from Arthur, my grandfather. Stanley R. Griffin had several children, Arthur being my grandfather. There was Arthur, Horace, Floyd. Floyd obviously was my brother as well, named after him. Flora, Mildred, and Madeline. Arthur was my grandfather. Horace was the black sheep of the family. Now, you know, every family has their problem child, so, you know. And in our family, probably my family would say it was me, whatever, you know. Floyd, Flora, Mildred, and Madeline. Floyd died at 26 years old of appendicitis. Flora died when she was 2, run over by a carriage. And if you walk through the cemeteries and you see some of the graves and how young some of the people were that died, I'll tell you, we are a blessed generation and some of the things that we have. And what brought death on in years past is we've been very successful in fighting off death, but obviously it still happens. Mildred and Madeline both lived to grow old. I actually preached my Aunt Madeline's funeral and others in the family. And she lived to be 92 or 93. I saw her on her last day that she lived. She was laying on the couch. And she was very weak, and you could tell she didn't have a whole lot longer to go. And she had asked me to preach her funeral, and so we had had several conversations. And so when I left, I knew I'd probably not see her again, and I said, I'll see you in the morning. And what I meant to her was see you in the morning was I know that there's going to be a great resurrection morning one of these days, and I know that I will see her again. But her desire was to continue to live. And there's no quitting her. And so when I told her, I'll see you in the morning, she looked at me thinking tomorrow morning, and she says, I hope so. I hope so. And there's a great difference, guys, between men and women. I think guys throw in the towel a lot easier than women do. Women fight on. Guys, I'm willing to quit about any day now, but obviously there is, God made us different, and that's the way that it is. And I've talked about that several times in the past, but Aunt Madeline, obviously, not only did Floyd die of appendicitis, Aunt Madeline's first husband herself died, he died of appendicitis, and she was married again to my Uncle Fred. They lived through the Great Depression. They fought off the Germans, the Japanese. They built a country full of values and greatness, and we owe them a tremendous debt. They knew what it was like to have nothing, but what they had, they would gladly share with whomever came by. There was always enough. Nowadays, we never have enough. But that generation, it was always enough. And if you came by at supper time, nowadays, we're so careful about when we show up. Back then, people just showed up. If it was supper time, you just set another plate. You add a little more water to the stew, you know, just whatever it takes. They didn't have to have a blank check to fly Lean's to enjoy a good time. I grew up watching the Andy Griffith Show, you know, there was a time where if you wanted to have a good time, you'd just jump in the car and go for a ride. And it used to bug me on, even I can remember on Sundays where you'd be going home from church and there was someone out walking their car. And it used to drive me crazy because they're always driving slow and they're taking in the sights. I'm an important person. I got places to go. I can't be slowed down by this, you know. But, you know, there was a time where we appreciated the little things in life. And just for a ride in the car. And I have a hard time relating to that. I really do. They could have had much more, but they were content with what they had. And I've had relatives that have passed away and left a great deal of wealth behind because they were content. They didn't have to have it all. They'd drive an older car. They'd wear older clothes. They lived below their means. And that's something very unusual now. I've said all that to say there are people that have lived and died inconspicuous lives so that you and I could pursue our dreams. Some are noted, but most are not. There are some recorded in the Bible that I think you and I should look at in lessons learned. I am to live to be remembered. Let me tell you something. The choices you make matter. Did you hear me? The choices you make matter. And the world will tell you, and it's a lie right out of the pit of hell, that Satan will say, oh, the choices I make, whatever I do, doesn't hurt anybody else. Your choices affect everyone. Right. And there's so much selfishness going on right now that we're not concerned about anybody coming behind us. We don't care about anybody that went before us. It's all about how I feel right now, and am I satisfied? Am I happy? Have I found my joy? Whatever it is I'm looking for, it ought to be about me. And with that attitude, you will never find happiness. You will never find joy. You will never be content because that's not how it works. There's a selfish life, and there's a selfless life. And choices matter. There's a great example of that that took place, and I've used this before, but I love it. Two families from the state of New York were studied very carefully. One was the Max Jukes family, and the other was the Jonathan Edwards family. The thing that they discovered is this study is remarkable. Like begets like. Max Jukes was an unbelieving man, and he married a woman of like character who lacked principle. And among the known descendants, over 1,200 were studied. 310 became professional vagrants. 440 physically wrecked their lives by a debauched lifestyle. 130 were sent to the pen for an average of 13 years each. Seven of them learned the trade in a state prison. It cost the state about $1.5 million, and they made no contribution whatever to society. That was the Max Jukes family. In about the same era, the family of Jonathan Edwards came on the scene. And Jonathan Edwards, a man of God, married a woman of like character. And their family began, and they became a part of the study that was made. 300 became clergymen, missionaries, and theological professors. Over 100 became college professionals, and over 100 became attorneys, 30 of them judges, 60 of them became physicians, over 60 became authors of good classics and good books, 14 became presidents of universities. There were numerous giants in American industry that emerged from this family. Three became United States congressmen, and one became the vice president of the United States. Now, choices matter. Hebrews chapter 11 is our text. Every one of these individuals are remembered in Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Bible's Hall of Fame. And they are remembered because they were people of faith. It wasn't their wealth. It wasn't their wisdom. It was their faith that was remembered. And they are forever immortalized in God's word. So let's take a look at some of the people that are talked about here in our Bible lesson this morning. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, verse 1, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, people will talk about you, the clothes you wear, the things you do, the choices that you make. People are watching you, and they are reporting on you. It's called sometimes talking, sharing, gossiping. Those things happen. Now, of course, Christians don't gossip, but lost people do. Nobody in this room would gossip, but, you know, we've seen people that we do, and we recognize them. And, of course, we'd not be one to say gossip, but on occasion we may be required to listen in just to see what's being said about someone. So having said that, you are known by who you are, and every one of these people were known because of their faith, and by it they received a good report. Look at verse number 3. Through faith we understand. Let's say that together. Through faith we understand. Stop right there. It is only by faith in God Almighty and recognizing that He is in control in life and the events of your life for you to be able to understand what's going on. Because I don't know about you, but at times I'm confused. Now, I know I'm the pastor, I'm the one with all the answers in this building, but at times I'm confused. And of course, I say that in jest, because there are things in life I do not understand other than to know that God's on the throne and He's got it covered. And if you're looking for all your answers to be answered before you'll believe in Jesus Christ in this book, it will never happen. But on the other hand, if you believe and understand what you do know and accept the rest by faith, that's all anyone can do this side of eternity. Trust me, your answers will be provided, but probably not in this life. But we will find it out. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the way that God has led us through this blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, I think. And we'll understand it better by and by. That's the song that we sing. And by, we will understand it all. But right now, we are giving enough to understand, and the rest I take by faith. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, through faith, we understand. And it goes on to say what we understand, that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Creation was spoken. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What you see was not created by what you see, the things that appear. But it was created by someone we can't see, God Almighty, who spoke it, and it happened, and you and I get to appreciate it. The worlds were underframed by the word of God, so the things which are seen are not made by the things which do appear. Verse number 4, by faith Abel. I love this verse, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain offered of his works, Abel offered of a blood sacrifice that he had been taught to do. Abel believed God, did what he was told to do. Cain refused to follow God, did what he wanted to do. One is remembered as blessed, and one is remembered as cursed. You follow God's teaching and God's laws, you will be remembered as blessed. And I'm sorry, but if you want to go against God's laws and refuse to do what our Bible teaches and what we know to be correct, for all time and eternity, your name will not be used in a place of blessing. It'll be used with Cain in a place of cursing. And I'll tell you, we won't have time to enumerate some of the things that the world is saying is okay right now, but they're obvious and they're wrong. Through faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, lived right, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That's an incredible sentence. He being dead yet speaketh. I want you to know when your life is over, it's not over. Your testimony, the way you live, you know what? I just read the testimonies and the stories of some of the Griffin family that have been gone a long time, and we're still talking about them. Abel's been gone a long time. We're still talking about him. He being dead yet speaketh. I had the privilege not long ago preaching the funeral of a woman that I knew from Bangor Baptist. And the funeral was held at Brookings and Smith, and some folks came to that funeral because they were family, and they knew what that lady stood for. And when they got there, one of the people that was there, by her own testimony, said, "Oh, great, there's going to be a preacher." That's what her attitude was. I understand that. Satan has been very good at muddying up the gospel message, getting people to think, "Oh, don't bother to go to church. Whatever they share doesn't even make sense." I'll tell you what, I'm sorry if what you've heard hasn't made sense in the past, but this gospel makes sense to me. And so I got up and shared the word of God, and by golly, God used that. And through that woman's testimony and the preaching of the word of God, that young lady that said, blah, 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 accepted Christ as her personal Savior and has been baptized in this church. You know? I'll tell you what. Her testimony being dead yet spoke at her funeral, and that person trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And I'm telling you, your personal testimony, whoever you are, when you're dead and gone, will continue to speak about who you are. And the choices that you're making right now matter. Wendell Calder talks about finishing well, and he's got a message on it. Obviously, he's 10 times the preacher I will ever be. But one of the things about finishing well is if you want to finish well, you need to be doing well right now. You know, it's a baseball thing. You know what the key to sweeping a doubleheader is? Win the first one. Right? It's true. If you don't win the first one, you're not sweeping the doubleheader. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to finish well, you need to live well today. Because you know what? This could be the finish for you. Who knows when the finish is? I have no idea. But it's possible today's your finish. And if you're not living well right now, you're not going to finish well. And when you're gone, you being dead will continue to speak. That ought to matter. Matters to me. I hope it matters to you. He being dead yet speaketh. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. So we got Abel living a great righteous life. Enoch in verse 5. Was translated, did not see death, was not found because God translated him. For before he had this translation, translate, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I don't know how it worked with Enoch. I'd like to think, I've thought about this about my own self sometime. One of these days, you're going to look for Stan and he's going to be gone. Why? Because God just loved me so much he took me. That's probably not going to happen. Because Enoch's the only one this happened to. There was something about his relationship with God Almighty. God just enjoyed being, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And God said, you know what, Enoch? I'd rather have you with me than down there. And God took him. And he was translated that he never saw death. God just swept him up and took him up to heaven. See, oh, come on, Stan, you don't really believe that? I absolutely do. That's what the Bible says. That's an incredible story. Why? Because he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The testimony, and obviously we're running out of time, so I need to come to the end of this, but obviously if you go down through all of these verses from Noah and Abraham and Sarah, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Question, did they ever get what they were looking for? Answer, no, they never did. But they laid the groundwork for you and I to look at lives well lived and models to follow. And you and I now, they were looking for that Savior, Jesus Christ. You and I have seen. We know the life he lived. It's perfect, sinless life. Laid it down on his own. No man took it from him. He gave it freely. Crucified on a cross. Buried. Risen again in 3 days. Seen by over 500 men at one time. Taken back up to the Father, now at the right hand of the throne of God, ever living, making intercession for you and I, so that one day we can go and be with him. And John chapter 14 said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Have we seen those things yet? No, but we will. And we're plugging forward, carrying on, always moving forward toward the cross of Jesus Christ, knowing someday we're going to get to see him. How do we do that? That's by faith, folks. It's just by faith. And I'll tell you what, I believe it. And there are thousands and millions that have gone on before us that have lived this life that I'm describing that absolutely works. And you can abandon it, and you can say, I won't do it, I will not follow it, it makes no sense to me, and you can live with the other crowd. It's a bigger crowd, there's more of them than there are of us, but I submit to you, they are miserable people. Constantly looking, drinking salt water, never having their thirst satisfied. But Jesus said, I can offer you some water that if you drink this, you'll never thirst again. And I can testify, I've had a drink of Jesus Christ. And Stan Griffin is not thirsty. And you can be too. I'm telling you, it is the greatest life you can possibly imagine. The contentment I feel is absolutely incredible. And in knowing that, all we can do is recommend it to others so that they can live the life that God Almighty has promised. They did not get what they were looking for, but they lived a life of substance and satisfaction. And obviously, you and I are called to do that too. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's several things in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 that we could take time on, and we don't have time, but just look quickly at that verse. Seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, obviously, some preachers will tell you that there are those sitting at the balcony of heaven, looking over, watching us, witnessing what we are doing, hoping for us, screaming for us, wanting us to do well. And that makes for great preaching, but I don't think that's what it means. I'll tell you what I do think it means. Having a great cloud of witnesses, or in other words, testimonies of folks that have gone on before us. That's the cloud in Hebrews chapter 11. All those people that have gone on before us, setting an example that you and I can follow. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Notice it does all the sin that besets us. It says the sin. What's the great sin that easily besets us? Well, I think all of us struggle with one or two things, but the great sin that easily besets us is our lack of faith in God Almighty. So no, I just can't do that. And if you cannot believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is a great sin that will take you to hell. But on the other hand, if you'll trust in God Almighty as your Savior and follow Him and believe in Him and let Him forgive your sins, then you can run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I used to run track in high school. I was fast. Man, I was fast. The older I get, the faster I was. You ever hear that? So, but anyway, we had a finish line we were looking for. We'd run around that oval and just going and going. And what were we looking for? We were looking for the finish line. Well, for the Christian, if you're running the race, our finish line is to see the face of Jesus Christ. And someday, these old legs that used to be so fast, I'm going to get to see the face of Jesus Christ, and I want to run a race that He's pleased with. I want Him to look at me, and I want Him to hand me the fifth place trophy, whatever, however. But I'll tell you what, there's a race that needs to be run, and you and I need to run it. Why? Because there are those behind us that are watching, and it matters what they see. Because one of these days, Christ is going to come back, but so far that hasn't happened. That doesn't mean He's not going to. He is going to. But there's a chance you and I will die. And others will come behind us. And we want those that come behind us to have found us faithful. Our Heavenly Father, time goes by so quickly. And there have been great people that have gone on before us. There have been generals and soldiers. There have been freedom fighters. There have been folks that have laid down everything they owned. And we've read about them in the history books. But a greater number than that are people that we don't even know their name. They just followed Jesus Christ. They lived salt and light. They were just faithful testimonies of folks that we never will know until we get to heaven. But they've made a difference. And Lord, The folks sitting in the Cornerstone Baptist Church this morning, we are not famous. We're in Exeter, Maine. Nobody knows where that is but you. We're not going to be in the history books, and we don't need to be. What we need to be is faithful. What we need to be is folks that just follow you. What we need to be is people that believe in you, whether it makes sense or not, because we know you to be true. And you have many mansions, and you have prepared a place for us. And we know that you said you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by you. And so, Lord, I pray that every person here at some point in their life has said those simple words, that prayer that says, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. Lord, just by the numbers here, I don't know everyone in the building, but there's a good chance there are folks here that have never prayed and said, Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I know that I need you. I know that I'm a sinner. And I want you to be my Savior because I know you are the only one that can forgive sins. I know you are the only one that can save. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to ask for your hand or anything, but I am going to ask you to do this just quietly in the quietness of your heart. God sees you. He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows everything that you've done, and he absolutely loves you. There is nothing you could have done that would separate you from his saving grace. He loves you. But what he does need you to do is to accept him, to open your heart's door, to invite him in. And we do that through prayer. We just say, Lord Jesus, or like that. They don't have to be my exact words, but words that say, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. If you'll say those words or something like that, you can't say it wrong because God knows your heart. And if you'll trust him, he says he'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll come into you and he'll build a home in you that you'll never want to part with. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So say those words just to yourself and to the Lord. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. And if you've said that prayer, I wish you'd tell someone you came with or shake my hand before you leave and say, Stan, I prayed that prayer today. We want to know that you've been added to the kingdom. Our Heavenly Father, we'll open the invitation. We'll let folks respond. Perhaps there's someone this morning that has said, Jesus, come into my heart, and they'd like to come down and let the whole world know right now that they've trusted Christ. We would love that. Lord, also there are Christians here that possibly are making poor choices, and their testimony is not honoring you, and they know it. Convict them. Straighten them. Give them a life that is pleasing to you that others will want to follow. Lord, we ask for the home and the family today, that you'd mend it, fix it, heal marriages, heal homes. Give kids dads to grow up and follow. Give kids moms that love them and are there for them. Lord, most of all, help this church to be a lighthouse in this community forever, however you want to use us. Bless the invitation, please. Help us to be obedient as you've spoken to us. In Jesus' name, amen.